Watson Hall presents.
You're go for APU shutdown on time.
You're go for deploy.
300 AD, I am.
Recommend a vector transfer to the BFS.
Roger the problem.
So we finished our observations of the strange black mass, which...
Sorry, every time.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Radish did some more probing of plants and had this feeling of it, there being basically a research station which was invaded by the soldiers from the earlier vision and turned to terrible ends. So what we think, whatever this mass was originally, some kind of scientific research station of enormous size, possibly something, you know, that sort of what's the particle accelerator, CERN, you know, type thing, but for whichever technology it was, you know, massive scale project. It appeared to have compacted into this not quite neutronium, but working on it, sort of matter, electron degenerate matter. We sent a couple of probes. We managed to get a tiny bit of information about it and decided that was about all we were going to manage. Another thing for other people to do a proper project on.
Mm-hmm. The working theory narrative is these guys, whoever these guys were, had a technology which could be adapted to essentially explode the star. And in the course of a desperate war, felt it incumbent upon them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That fits with what I have.
They were definitely an FTL travelling civilization.
Might still be someone out there from them.
Did we see both sides of the fight, or did we just see the one side?
No, and we don't actually know what they were like.
I mean, you can't be sure, you only have very fragmentary recordings, but it would certainly be consistent with all from people on the same side.
Okay.
So, possibly, you know, war as opposed to interspecies war.
Because I am thinking that who they were fighting might well have been something like the AI machine thing that we met before.
Don't think we've seen anything that supported that, but we haven't seen anything that contradicts it either.
The completely unarmed autonomous interstellar probe, yes. Yes, that's marine thinking.
We moved on. And in the course of our journey, we saw two planets which almost collided with each other, which the boffins are super excited about. So we paused to observe. And the scout ship went off to do some calibration on some nearby star and came back very quickly and said, oh, we've got a human emergency transponder signal. Very old one, early second space age stuff. Which obviously we felt we need to, and we are legally obliged to, attempt to render aid with all possible speed. So we headed off and we found a wet planet, essentially, with an atoll and a broadly breathable atmosphere, vegetation. It looked like if someone had crash landed here, people might have survived. So we have headed down. There were about 14 radar pings in different locations around this atoll. So it was hard to pin down any specific place, but we found an open area to land on, and that was where we left things off.
Yeah, there was heavy cloud cover, so you couldn't get much visual inspection, except at very low altitude when you were too busy being about to land.
And we've landed Anteca, haven't we?
Yep. Let me just pull up the map.
She did send us the map as well. So.
I did, but let me give you the live map. There we go. I do like share individual window. With so much embarrassment.
Well, just the annoyance of when you've accidentally shared a screen and then you realise either you have to close it to get back to the thing you actually wanted to show them, or it's you. Anytime you try and do anything like take notes of the conversation, it's ruining everything.
So, and then there's the porn screen you're accidentally sharing. That's the major issue.
Yeah, obviously.
So I have marked your landing site on there.
Role-playing porn, obviously.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, a dice shop or something is what I'm thinking.
Exactly.
Custom dice.
I remember that scandal.
Solid diamond dice.
In my Manx lesson on Monday, in my Manx class, we were doing a reading group. It was like, what does this word mean? And it's like, well, if you look at this, this one has six sides, and this one has many sides. So that means the word for many-sided. That's a lot of dice you have there, Juan. do you play D&D? Not when I can avoid it, but
I get asked the question a lot. That's why I have so many dice,
just in case. One day, Max campaign.
Is this going to rely on finding an intersection of people who are both role players and Max speakers?
Yes, but on the plus side,
I mean, I can think of at least one, possibly two.
And it both of these tend to attract people who are slightly obsessive nerds. So,
it might be a correlation.
You don't speak Manx without being slightly obsessive nerd. Actually, you might these days, but you didn't if you're my age.
But you don't. I feel learn it because. Oh, I don't know, you want a career in tech and the Isle of Man is where all the new tech is coming from, so you want to be able to read the papers in the original, all that kind of thing.
Generally not, yeah. It's not because you're listening to all that cheesy, Manx pop or whatever you are into. I do somewhere have some cheesy Cymrog.
Now, funnily enough, I have a ukulele album by a band... oh God, what's the name? Hang on. I can never pronounce it. They are called Bisky Brisht.
Ah, Bisky Brisht.
Oh, I've heard them. Not only heard of, I've actually heard them.
You possibly will have done, because I think you were at the same concert I was.
Also, I think they were at Shrinkfest.
Right, they're there as well. Okay. But yeah, they were at Cheltenham, I think. Or was it Gnuff? They were at one of those two. I get everything conflated these days.
It all blurs into one happy one. Where somebody somewhere is playing a ukulele.
I can't even remember if I used to have a good memory or just an average one, you know?
You had a good memory. Well, okay. You had a good memory for basically every stupid thing I'd ever said.
I had a good memory at one
that
stage.
That might have been said slightly through clenched teeth, but don't worry about it, John.
Now everything is a bit vague.
So you have a melancholy. So we've got a map that looks like some sort of invading monster.
Yes, absolutely.
Or possibly a diagram of the invasive tumour.
That does look like a heart in some ways.
It's a bit Venus, isn't it?
But in terms of the terrain, mm-hmm. On the area you're on right now is basically the relatively open plain bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is it like a grass analogue type thing?
That sort of short vegetation, yeah.
Cool. Yeah, and what's
savannah would be more like it, but yeah, sort of grassy. Okay.
Yeah. What's visibility like at this level? Because I know there's a lot of cloud cover.
Well, you can't see where the sun is,
mm-hmm.
but it's not down to ground level mist or fog. You can see a fair distance.
Okay, cool.
Let me just check. I don't think this is wildly different. These people like their traveller planet stats. Fortunately, I can read them.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, I'd be happier just with numbers, but hey, that's life. Okay, so it's slightly larger than Earth. Well, that's interesting. Oh, no, that won't do. Sorry, I'm just thinking of something else that they tell me later, and this is not compatible with the numbers they put here.
Ooh.
It's slightly smaller than Earth, therefore. That will mean the horizon is slightly closer, though. Honestly, at this sort of distance, I mean, the whole island is maybe 20 kilometres across. It's honestly not going to make a difference.
Okay, cool.
Okay, so we're basically seeing sort of savanna type stuff around us. There's this ridge behind us, so blocking view of the sea.
Yeah, and there's a little bit of ground outside the ridge, but not very much. If you look further north towards that first star,
mm-hmm.
you've got another slight sort of ridgy bit, and it looks. Mostly you're getting this from the camera shots as you came down, but it looks as if that next area is basically swampy.
Yeah.
And the darker red is a mangrovey sort of swamp, i.e. Yes. It will be a lot harder work to get through because you've got interlocking trees growing together.
Cool.
Mm.
I've actually said sex, isn't it?
I've accidentally written and then Manalog Forest, which is kind of accurate, but.
So, do you have a preferred way to go? Also, let me just have a quick look now that I think of it, because this is one of the very few opportunities on this mission for you actually to use
drones,
vehicles.
Ooh. We haven't got grav slats, have we? Damn it.
You haven't got grav anything.
Cars.
Sorry.
Bring up the Slav Grad.
Do you know, that just sounds like a sort of a pickled side dish from Eastern Europe.
I could just go for some Slav Grad.
Ooh, I've got one.
Sounds good to me.
I'm meeting friends and we're having a Ukrainian on Saturday.
I beg your pardon?
We are eating at a Ukrainian restaurant on Saturday.
Oh, I see. Right.
No.
I used to date a Ukrainian.
It's not Epstein Files, don't worry.
Okay, so two vehicles that you could theoretically have brought along with you. The ultralight, honestly, is probably not all that used because it's not VTOL. It needs some basic amount of runway, even if not very much of it. Though you could probably have one of those available to you at least. The other is an all-terrain hovercraft. The Bushrangers Wallaby model. Not that they have a theme.
Bushrangers Wallaby?
G'day.
Doesn't sound like a smooth ride really, does it?
It will take you back and forth across this island approximately 30 times before it needs refueling.
I presume there's an option to not go as many times. You can stop at any point, can you?
Oh, does anybody in the party have drive hover? Just asking.
No, I've got fly vector.
No, I've got vector thrust flyer.
Yes, ditto.
Pilot small craft, and I think that's about it.
Okay, let
me... I've got drive wheel. That's not going to be any use either.
Well, if you, it might at least give you a zero in it. If you've got drive other zero, then you're doing all right there.
Well, I've got jack of all trades, you know. Prepared to give it a go.
Can we not smile sweetly at one, at somebody else who can fly?
Oh, almost certainly. This is a bit. Yeah, no, nobody has actually got the drive hover skill. But yeah, your best bet, in fact, would be Mason, who has actual points in drive wheel and therefore could get drive other at zero.
Aha.
And speaking of rubbish, mankind's last best hope.
Are you a doctor of driving by any chance?
Hello, Dr. Nick. Do not forget to do your tone. Something. Do not forget to do Audacity.
Good point. Well remembered, that man.
Real life is you are allowed to put real life before role playing.
Cox. Oh no, I've got to do the tone, haven't I?
You don't have to. Now you've done the Cox. That was a good Cox, though.
I immediately thought of boats, which says a lot about.
Did you do the reverb on purpose, or was it just a happy accident?
I'm just naturally kind of Barry White-esque.
Oh yeah,
you look thinner on screen.
Mm.
Okay, so people who have Driver Hofcraft in the canonical list of NPCs, the XO, the Chief Engineer, the Chief Pilot, the Chief Astrophysicist, and that's it.
Why do we need Pilot Hofcraft?
Driver.
Because
I've got Pilot Small Craft.
It's smaller than that. Thrust. Can't we all pile into a Harrier or something?
If you had one, that would work very well, potentially.
I thought we could land down on this.
Okay, I think the answer is one of Bayern's other pilots will be attached to your mission.
Designated dire.
Bayern is some hours behind you. Basically, needs to finish a drive discharge.
Felix can drive anything. He's our howling mad Murdoch.
No, Mason can drive anything.
Well, there you go, Mason.
Just not very well.
Oh.
Generally, I expect it to have wheels and, slamming your foot on the brake in a hovercraft has surprisingly little effect.
Okay. Well, I'll leave it to the experts, i.e. none of us.
Has he got a turret, by any chance?
No. Strangely.
What is even the point of this vehicle?
Everyone has got their own particular requirements, things they look for in a new vehicle, you know. We've just, in fact, bought a new car, and it's red. So it's not a boring colour. That was one of the things we needed, apparently.
Why are they all grey and white now?
Exactly. You see, that was that was something that got mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Used to be the red cars had the most accidents, but I think that was because most cars were red at that point.
I don't think it was ever a huge thing. I remember a study looking into car colour and safety, and black cars were the second safest colour at night, so I can't believe that was a huge margin.
For myself, my car would have been £800 more if it was any other colour. That was basically my consideration. All right. Well, we land safely.
We have landed. We are now getting into the hovercraft. And I am most unimpressed with the fact that.
I thought we'd landed Bayern on this.
No, we haven't landed. But we've landed.
Endeavour, sorry, not Bayer.
And we've landed where that crosses.
Okay, so what do we need a hovercraft for? I'm sorry, I've missed all this.
Because where those stars are,
yeah,
are about that. That's about 2 or 3 kilometres away. So if you want to walk,
good bit of exercise. That's only what?
Excellent.
Half an hour.
Excellent. We'll see you in half an hour over there, then, Dr. Radish.
Right, there is your hovercraft.
There's a hard point. What are you doing? Give me a gun.
Hang on. Has it, turret attached to it?
Has it got roll bars or space for a roof rack?
I think those are roll bars surrounding the headlight, the spotlights.
I don't know if that's reassuring or not reassuring.
Well, it means that if the vehicle rolls over, the spotlights will not be damaged. And those are quite expensive, you know.
Is it possible to actually roll a hovercraft? It's not like you have a skid on two wheels.
It's hard work. It often involves a slope. Now, you will notice a safety consideration. Do not attempt to enter or exit the vehicle by the side doors while the engines are running.
Because it is really hard to clean that up.
Yeah, it's very bad.
We also recommend not using the basement entrance.
Though it does appear to be that you have a roof hatch on the right side. So
looking on the side, presumably that handle is there for if you accidentally get too close to the engine, you cling frantically onto it.
And then you'll only lose your feet to the first stage compressor blades.
Exactly. And you hope they can give you new legs afterwards.
Oh, yeah, they do a great lot of cyber feet these days.
I don't know. That whole thing just looks...
It's boxy, isn't it? It's like a Volvo.
There must be a way of doing hovercraft, your cyber feet with tiger feet.
I'm also doing that. I would hope so. That's neat.
Actually, that works better in the sun, doesn't it?
Gonna love your cyber feet.
That's actually really good for the aesthetic, because that looks to me like something the BBC props department made out of things they had lying around.
Absolutely. Definitely. Okay.
Need some bubble wrap.
I'll go in the top door.
I might be stood in the top door bit with a gun pointing out.
Surely not.
If you're pointing out, that's fine.
It will take a total of 6 people.
Yeah, I mean, what if we go through like a low multi-story car park entrance or something?
I am more than capable of ducking, Mason.
Last thing you see says Max Headroom. I mean, it's setting up for
it's a spin-off
all of its own. Yes.
So you can seal the environment. Not entirely surprising. It does have a short-range jump mode to, you know, getting over ditches and things of that sort.
Oh, that's what the jets are for, or is that?
Oh no, the whole thing is basically running on jet engines.
I mean, it doesn't count as a vector thrust flyer, then.
No, because it cannot get out of ground effect.
Yeah, both Mason and I are there going, well, we could always just block up the ground effect bit and just fly around on the vector.
Let's get to these. Can we visually see what these stars are from a distance?
No, that's where your radar anomalies are. You've probably got some pictures on the way down, but not really in enough detail.
Okay.
Can we, because I think the one that's going to be the most useful is the one to the north. So can we eliminate the other two reasonably quickly first?
That sounds way more sinister coming from you.
Partly because I actually want to see what this what the ridge is like. So if we can go for the one for the southeast, no, southwest rather.
Yeah. So this isn't this. Man-made. As well,
the one on
was
the coast.
Natural.
The one on the coast. The one down and on the coast.
They seem to be
okay. The one on the coast
feature.
Road. I presume, well, road.
No, it's not a ridge.
I see, okay.
Yes, that's what was my question. It's not a road, is it? It's not a man-made.
It's not a road. It is indeed a ridge. And I suspect that the vegetation being the same on both sides of it is something that's happened later. The geologists among you, who you probably left behind on by Anne, gnashing their teeth, this was grew up in the manner of a coral atoll. The centre was hollowed out, and then at some point it got filled in with plant life.
Okay. Naturally, that would occur without.
Yeah. I mean, well,
it seems plausibly natural, but okay.
Okay.
Don't do us to make any bets about it. But...
Okay. Lovely. All right, southwest then.
Yep.
So let's see, a cruise speed for one of these counts as. Why don't they just give me a number?
10 minutes later, we get there.
Yeah, no, less than that. You could do about 150, 200 kph on one of these on decent terrain. And this savannah is essentially the terrain these things are built for.
I take it this actually has decent brakes with that thrust arrangement.
It's not so much brakes as you spin the thing backwards and then apply the thrust.
Right, yeah.
But it is only about 2 or 3 kilometres over there, so it does not take long. Right, so we have...
Now we find out if it's Tyranids or not.
Among the many, many PDFs I have open right now, we have...
He's got a blip marker. It's a 50-50 chance.
Ah, those are the days, those are the days. Right, so, yeah, so... yeah, there's... It's definitely some sort of wreckage of human-made things. I mean, there is visibly metal from 500 metres out.
Oh.
It looks as... Well... It doesn't come up much above the ridgeline, so that will cut back slightly what you can see. But it looks as though basically there was construction on the inside of the ridge, which provides a slight shelter from wind and sea and things like that. Okay. Structural metal looks as if it's buried deep in the ground. May have formed some sort of camp or shelter or very temporary habitation. But the structures have been, whatever structures there actually were, have been destroyed. And there are drifts of beach sand and various aquatic plants growing on the inside of this ridge.
Okay. So, I need a couple of things. Dr. Radish, could you give me a rough idea of how long that metal has been exposed to the elements?
Oh, right up my alley, that is. Let me have a look.
So, guess planetology more than anything else?
Okay, I have not got that.
It's got chemistry, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no idea what the erosion rate's like on this world, but you could say if it was on Earth, then it would be about this long.
That will do. To be honest, I'm not that panicky about that. And the other thing as well is, how does it look like it has been violently dismantled?
Yeah, is it erosion or something else?
There are bits that are broken and they are not bits that have just worn thin.
Okay, so... It does look like some... It's a bit... Without knowing the salinity, the weather patterns, I'm going to struggle with exposing my knowledge myself. I don't know. But
by the time everybody's finished reacting to you dropping trow on this world where you were, in fact, previously wearing a vaccine, everyone's forgotten what question they were asking.
It's my standard technique.
That's why he's on this mission.
No, there was definitely something more. It could have been a natural, you know, lightning or something, but it wasn't just natural erosion.
A storm or something? I mean, we're in the sea. There could be some violent storm, I suppose.
I think more than that. It's a bit too specific. You see these fine points here?
I was thinking of this, you know, the sand and the plants that are strewn about. I mean, to me, that maybe suggests being any carried sign, over by...
Any sign of blast damage or any sign of projectile or energy weapon damage.
Only in Imperial troopers.
That sounds like... In fact, give me a general thing. You're still staying at a fair distance at this point, aren't you?
Yeah, I don't really want us to go too close at the moment, just to be on the safe side. Either recon or
or investigate.
Okay, let's go for a recon.
Investigate. I'm not very clever, though.
So I've rolled 6. That's a total of 8. However,
three in total.
I have got a couple of investigators with me.
So got an 8 so far, and
I've also got an 8.
Okay. Never mind. Nice investigator, I think. Or I may have misremembered.
I have investigate 1.
I've got 2, so 7, incredibly.
Okay.
How do I do it?
So, Grol, 2d6 plus your skill plus your stat mod.
Oh, sorry, I wasn't asking how do I do.
How with a
skill of 2 and a stat mod of plus 1 do I still manage to get a 7? You know, it's just
not.
Our little friends, the dice.
I think he may have rolled a 4. Is that any help?
Thanks, Nick. If this was Tunnels and Trolls, I'd be able to add and re-roll. Never mind.
So, none of you is 100% sure, perhaps, but the basic impression you're all getting looking at different bits is probably storm damage more than anything else.
Okay.
Unless I am physically stopped, I will at this point approach.
Can we send a radar signal from here while we're here? Anything?
Do you have a handheld radar? I mean, they exist. Is that something you would have brought with you?
Well, given that these are radar anomalies, yes, I probably would have done.
I mean, they are definitely pieces of metal.
Send a drone over before we go over ourselves.
Okay.
Mason, yeah, Jethro, are you in your drones?
Yes. Because if one of those gets broken or eaten, we go, oh dear, what a shame, never mind. If you get eaten or broken,
that's paperwork to be done.
And I don't like funerals.
Mason has done a good job of keeping me from harm, except both of those times when I got very badly injured and had to spend some time in medical bay.
Well, yes, but there's an upper limit to how much I can do.
And strangely, both of these times were after you insulted his taste in clothing.
I will wait for him.
Okay, so give me a... I think this is going to be a recall with the drone.
Okay, so or do you want operational?
It's not a challenging bit of flying. What I'm after is learn from it.
Assuming it's int, that's 12.
Okay. Presumably you're keeping it reasonably high, at least to start with. There are little things that look definitely man-made. That is something about the size and shape of a paperback book, for example.
Uh-huh.
And it is definitely rectangular.
If there's no obvious signs of danger for the drone, I will drop it down and basically just recheck everything with it basically flying kind of at head height, really.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I can use the same roll for that. There's a fair bit of... It's mostly damaged stuff. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Probably, rather than everybody died here, it's the thing was destroyed and then somebody took away what was left that was useful.
Mm-hmm. So it's been scavenged.
But you've got half a spork, for example. Mm-hmm. You've got plastic scraps of... You don't recognise the specific sort, but they have that air that says survival rations.
Mm-hmm.
Those are definitely broken shards of a mirror. That was probably a circuit board. That is a toothbrush used by humans, or something.
I was
going to
say,
very
this
like
is
humans.
Human. Hmm. Okay.
Let's assume
I thought this would come into sort of detective, investigative dentistry.
This is where in the TV show somebody says, aha, actually my hobby is early 21st century toothbrushes, and this particular model was only used.
Looking at the debris and the bits and pieces, and again looking at soil coverage, or you know, sand coverage and bits and pieces, are we talking years that this has been here, or since it was broken?
Definitely years.
Yeah.
Tens, but at least, possibly hundreds.
Oh, okay. Right, so a decent length of time.
Anything that could rot has rotted.
Yeah, and...
Yeah, all over. Yeah.
Everything's looking kind of eroded from sort of soil, you know, from sandblasting and so on.
Yeah, so something may have had some printing on it, but that has just been ground off by now.
Biological remain bones, basically?
No sign of them.
Hmm. No interesting little mounds nearby?
No.
Good. That suggests people survived. And
is there any order to...
I don't see any reason, gentlemen, that if you want to actually investigate closer, I'm reasonably happy that it looks... I can't see any obvious reason why that would be a bad thing.
An alien toothbrush, you say?
Let's have a quick look. If there's... Yeah, I mean, we may not want to investigate every site this thoroughly, but get a sense of what was going on.
Hmm. Let's look. So. Come on.
Yeah, I head off slightly ahead of Dr. Radish because...
You know, I'm going to check...
All humans move at the same speed. Sorry, go on, John.
Sorry, I'm going to check with my thermal imaging eye because it just occurs to me that if there was anything like a nuclear power source that had sort of been buried when something crashed, it could still be a hot spot.
Yeah, RTG might still be putting out a bit of power at least. You've got a little bit of infrared variation on some of the plants that are growing in among the wreckage, but nothing that looks to you like a serious power source.
Okay. That's good. It probably means it's not dangerously radioactive as well.
Or it's putting all its output into ionising radiation rather than heat.
That's less real.
I use my extended hearing to listen out for any strange noises.
Mostly what you hear right now is the sound of the sea on the other side of the coral wall.
The slight shuffling noise of the giant antlion.
No, that's just Dr. Radish.
Ah, yes. Easy mistake. Yeah, let's move in, glancing around.
Yeah, so this is increasingly looking like anything useful was taken, and what's left is trash after some sort of destructive event. The original layout of the thing, a camp for maybe, just by the size of it, sort of 10 to 20 people.
Oh, okay, cool. I'd like to just climb the ridge and just have a look over on the other side and just have a look at the sea and see if there's anything obvious.
Yeah, you can see there is a beach. There is, well, as you might think, really. There is nothing substantial on the far side of it. Yeah. Okay.
And from the slight height, have a look over to the anomaly in the east and the anomaly in the north.
Okay, what can you see from here?
I mean, it's about, by your thing, that's probably about 4 or 5K for each.
Yeah. Northeast is a little bit closer.
Yeah.
So northeast. Every time I page past this particular part of the thing, it slows down because it's got to render the GM's complicated map. This is mildly annoying. So, to the northeast, you can't see any structures, but you can see what looks like earthworks of some sort. Can't really tell much beyond that. Okay. Definitely straight lines. To the east, it looks more like debris, similar to this, you know, some kind of piece of metal, but you can only see one actual piece of metal there, you can't be sure.
Yeah.
Well, there might
can
not
we
be
get
more
some
it.
Idea, was this some idea of tech level from this time? Like, was this machined metal? Is this alloy?
Oh, there are definitely machined metals, yeah.
Okay. So they were at least industrial society.
Could I have...
More than that?
Well, could I have a recon or investigate?
Let's go recon.
Anybody wants to make it?
With social?
Eight.
With int.
Oh, yeah. 11.
12! Got a 12!
Oh, come on! I just got an 11.
The ultimate humiliation.
So, Mason spots it first. One of the local plant life things is something a bit like a big pineapple growing on its own. This one's about 2 meters tall, so it's fairly hard body to it, and then leaves on the top. And in among the leaves, there is something shiny, as in reflective.
Oh.
Shiny.
Okay, let's cautiously take a look.
It is perhaps the size of your hand. You probably have to reach in for it to get a much of a better look at it.
Is there a stick or anything around I can use to sort of move things out of the way just to make sure I'm not reaching into
least,
a trap?
The leaves move aside easily enough. They don't snap shut on your own.
Can we ferret this thing out?
Give me a dex roll.
Or just ask Dr. Radish if he can come and just grab it.
What is my dex? That would be 9.
Okay, yeah, so you poke it about a bit, eventually you get it a place where you can knock it out of the tree. And it looks remarkably like a hip flask.
I'll pick that up.
Stainless steel.
Hmm.
Ooh.
What is the monogram there, Mason?
Do you know, that was exactly what I thought. Has he got any sort of engraving?
Give it a gentle shake. It's a flask of nitroglycerin.
it is empty, as far as you can tell by shaking.
No!
Right, any engravings or anything?
Yes, there is a symbol. I don't think any of you is particularly a historian, but do you think any of you... Oh, I don't think we have a history skill in this anyway.
Particularly, he says.
Oh, we have science history, right? Yeah. So you can default it off your physics.
Oh,
Jack of all trades.
Yeah, yeah.
It's basically the same thing, isn't it? History.
Is that
and
I'm guessing this is edu.
Yes.
Then no.
8.
It does look faintly familiar. You can't immediately place it. There is also a word underneath it, which. It does not look like standard English lettering. None of you speaks this language or reads this language. And it is English-like.
Does it look like Greek or Cyrillic?
Would you be able to recognise them is my question here.
I have linguistics. That's not the same thing, I guess.
Yeah, could at least give you a start. You'd say a fair bet it's Cyrillic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Really?
Cyrillic? Well, actual... Well, I don't know.
If it is, then the word is Rasviet.
What on earth?
Which translates to...
Well, none of you speaks Russian, but you are still in communication with that Decker, which will have at least one person on board.
I can't help thinking, Roger, that I can get live translation with a pair of headphones and an iPhone at the moment in conversation with somebody.
Well,
so I was
because
figuring...
we're connected to the internet.
Yes, but Google was purged in the Twilight War, so...
Damn right.
They were the first up against the wall.
It is the word dawn in Russian.
That's fair enough.
Dawn.
Dawn. Dawn, as in the beginning of the day.
Oh.
Okay.
No, it's not like we've... You know, found our way to the girls' dorm, Nick. I don't know why Radish always jumps to these conclusions.
Sadly, you arrived 200 years too late. They're quite old by now.
How on earth did a Russian hip flask end up on this alien world?
I'm going to take a guess that it was brought here by a Russian.
Well, the point is, there have been no Russians.
Well, no. Okay, so can we ask Aunt Decker if there were any? So, this is a more general thing. So, are there any Russian colonies in the way that we're on in the way that Mason and I are both from a Cornish colony?
That is a thing that I want to check before I answer.
We've already checked. There was definitely no documented human exploration of this system.
No.
I mean, you are still, apart from your own mission a few weeks back, you are still as far as humans have ever been from Earth.
As far as
we thought.
As far as you know.
Miss Jumps with Stutter Warp could, in theory, take you a lot further, though, yes?
That's a bit of a question right there. Because Stutter Warp tends not to miss jump. Either it works or it destroys the ship. But it generally comes out... If it doesn't come out where you were aiming for, then it was only going 100 metres anyway.
Oh, that's right, yeah, because it's literally bang, 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 isn't it?
Where was the... I've just forgotten this from last week. We came here because there was a distress signal.
Yes.
What was the location of that distress? Was it all?
We don't know. It's one of these.
One of these. Okay. Mm.
That would be the best bet, yeah.
But it's this location.
Well, this is the atoll.
Yeah.
This atoll is where it's coming from. We can't pin it down any closer than that because of atmospherics, etc., etc.
Even now we're down on the ground, we can't find where this is.
You could direction find it a bit, and that would probably tell you north half of the circle rather than south half of the circle.
We have run into anomalies, however, haven't we? So what's the chance of a probe or something? Maybe this was put on as a good luck charm or an early mission that's also hit an anomaly. So this isn't a stutter warp accident or something. This is
a probe.
Something else.
A lost cosmonaut, basically, if you will.
It's more like...
of phrase.
There's wormholes. I've heard about in
Felix, some of the poor innocent child.
No, they're in the fictional.
Let me discuss with you the many ways in which I can.
Oi.
Oh,
stop Hello? It! Stop it! Go away, you blasted machine!
I'm sorry. I don't know where you thought of me.
The robot trundles off, sadly.
Right. Well, so the short version is there is some of Russia left, the bit that isn't the quarantine zone. See also Twilight War.
I was going to say, the Twilight War, was that... well, I guess it doesn't matter, was it?
US versus Russia. Well, NATO versus Warsaw Pact, basically.
Oh, back when there was a NATO. How quaint.
Yeah, basically, see Twilight 2000 approximately. And that was, in fact, what they did. GDW wrote a strategic level game. Each player had a country. And
yes.
They started with the situation at the end of the Twilight War and progressed forwards. And that's how the 2300 background was constructed.
Yeah. Which is why Britain did absolutely brilliantly, because the guy rolled like there was no tomorrow.
Which is why we have Cornish colonies.
Yeah.
Seriously.
More so than Russians.
Seriously, the Brits do far better than they ever should have, because the guy actually rolling stupidly high numbers.
Also, everybody loves the Royal Navy.
And everybody loves the Royal Navy.
Half the population of the Earth was destroyed, but Truro is fine, apparently.
Well, that, why do you think
you
they
really
to
do better at grudge, don't you?
I like Truro.
I ain't never going back.
Anyway.
Not never.
There is some presence, but they're not a major power in the world of today.
Okay. But there's no... I guess there's no... convenient CCTP or anything on the flask.
Somebody aboard about Aunt Decker has been running the logo against a list of historical logos, basically. Mm-hmm. Roscosmos, Russian space agency of the late 20th, early 21st century.
Shut up, what?
Wow. Really?
Can they check?
200 years ago.
I guess, have we got any records of the... I mean, it was secretive enough at the time, let alone with a nuclear war in between us and them. But are there any references to any missing... Like, you said there were 20 or 30 people in this camp.
Roughly, yeah. Judging by the size.
That's a lot of cosmonauts.
Colony ship, maybe?
What, in the early 20th century?
21st.
Sorry, early 21st century. I forget what...
I mean, we're assuming this is post-war.
So when was the Twilight War?
1980s.
Okay.
I all got a bit of threads for a while.
Let's see. Post-Second World War, you're gearing up the space race. Everybody's tried to grab hold of German scientists for the rocketry. And keeping track of what the other fella's doing with launches isn't easy. Because you don't have any satellite images, you're using high altitude planes and information networks. Spies and that sort of stuff. So there's lots of misinformation.
Oh, I remember this in school, that there was somebody, wasn't there a school or something? Yeah. You went to the same one that I did, you cheeky bugger. Admittedly, there were a bit of difference.
I must have been in a higher class.
Yeah, admittedly, I left slightly earlier to go to the academy, but yeah.
All they did was teach you how to make...
It was that or be expelled.
Just taught you how to make pasties and insult tourists.
And is there anything else to do in life?
Exactly.
Well, apart from shoot aliens, obviously.
Well, there we go. Well, there's one step from insulting tourists.
Indeed.
We're saying... A space craft with at least a minimum viable possible crew to get eventually to 20 people.
Unless.
Launched then and got this far.
Unless it was two people who made more people.
That's what I'm saying, minimum viable.
It carried on being Roscosmos until about 2180, 2190, thereabouts.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So 100 years after the... And what was the level of space travel around then? Presumably it took a bit of a turnaround in 1980.
Let me just check another thing to get much an accurate date for you. A full timeline of this setting is something that would be really useful, but sadly it's across about 17 different editions. Four.
Some fan has put it together, haven't they?
Yeah, but bits of it become very inconsistent.
What are the nerds like these days? Can't rely on anybody.
Hard enough to work out what the Soviets were doing in their space program in our world, let alone one that had a nuclear war in the middle.
Well, I mean, the thing that gets me, I mean, the thing I was going to say, which is kind of, this is more an out-of-game thing, is there was a school, I want to say it was over Cambridge way, where they were tracking the Sputniks, and they were tracking them better than the RAF were. They actually got it. They got it closer and tighter. And there was somebody who, because they'd been doing it a little bit and they'd been on the news and stuff, when they picked up that there'd been a launch, they phoned up this guy and the guy on the other hand was, really? Has there been? Oh, how exciting! And they actually told our armed forces that the Russians had actually put another one in space.
And the entire school has mysteriously vanished.
Okay, so the date that you would all know, whether you are historians or not, is 2144, which was the first expedition to Alpha Centauri.
Wow.
2144. Okay, so we had...
And that was the European Space Agency.
Yeah. Was that Stutterwarp?
Yes.
Okay, so it's conceivable. Well, I mean, obviously they got here, so it must be conceivable. But there wasn't much of a Russia left at that point.
It was in good shape, yeah.
It was mostly a radioactive wasteland from what I remember reading about.
Fascinating. Well, I think Felix must be onto something. Mm. There must have been some either secret project with the Stutter Warp or some, it was Mason who mentioned the anomalies, wasn't it? And I think we're aware that such things exist.
It's a possibility. I mean, we certainly have seen something that appeared to be folding space and where distance was not measurable. And if that could be transferred across, a wider area, then it could basically throw things anywhere, couldn't it?
Mm.
You could go in and just emerge who knows where.
What are the chances of ending up on a...
Like a jump, almost, maybe. A jump in space.
But to end up on a planet capable of supporting human life, that would be a phenomenal amount of luck if it wasn't, chosen. I guess it just seems very unlikely to end up in a position to end up here.
I mean, fundamentally, we know they got here. Don't need to deduce from first principles how they did it right now.
No. Okay, fair point. In fact, the major...
So it's a very interesting question, but...
Information around... Let's go and find it.
We can collect more clues. Rubs hands.
Do we want to go to the one over to the east, which as far as I can tell, is a largest piece of metal? So it could be, it actually
similar
is...
Similar to this thing, wasn't it?
Well, it's one biggish piece of metal. I'm wondering whether it is something craft, like... Yeah.
That's what you can see with the binoculars, at least.
Let's go. If it's a craft, that might help.
And it is a matter of only a few minutes with Orvacraft across this open country. So.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no reason to... look at these things.
Pop there and then we'll go north.
Also, okay. it's further away from the ridge, so it's more likely to have survived sea storms and such like.
Everyone on the hovercraft.
Right, so...
Skylark.
In the hovercraft.
You can ride on the roof. It'll be fine, just don't slip off the side. So the first thing that happened to this innocent piece of metal looks like an uncontrolled re-entry.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's been stuck here in the ground for however many years, being rained on and winded on and all the rest. Plants
does it look
to grow
like some form of protective cowling or something like that?
Really very difficult to say. It looks structural. It has a gentle curve to it. It might have been, a 10 meter diameter cylinder or something like that. Mm-hmm. But there's really not much of it left.
Okay. Any smaller? Well, okay.
It's probably the stabilizer off Serenity.
Is it spaceworthy? I mean, I guess we don't know much about it, do we? Any evidence that it has been outside of the atmosphere? Or
yeah, well, the re-entry burns are quite distinctive.
Fair enough.
Okay, I mean, that's fine. I mean, I don't think there's much more that we can say other than...
Let's head north.
The only way this survived re-entry is because it was just the weight it was. There was nothing inside it being heavy. So effectively it would have fluttered down as a multi-ton piece of metal, rather than structural.
Good point. So, does this look like it was something like there was a ship in orbit that broke up, and this is part of a broken up ship, or does it look like ship was
just
coming?
Just because it's Russian, there's no need to be so dismissive of it.
Or does it look like? The ship was coming in, and it's partly broken off during re-entry.
Okay, it's not a heat shield, you're pretty sure of that.
Yeah.
But it has been exposed to re-entry atmosphere.
Hmm.
So that suggests that it was not designed to enter atmosphere, or at least not at the angle it did.
Okay. Right.
I see. Okay.
I will say this to everybody.
It's also maybe a bit big for a lander, but who knows how big the lander was. if any.
Everything's a lander, you've just got to put the effort in.
Everything, every piece of equipment is airdroppable once.
Yeah.
Yep.
And no biological mess. Okay, let's head
except
north.
Except the plants trying to grow up, which is mostly failing.
Right, okay, yeah. Mm. Nothing human. I don't even know where to swab it for, like, DNA, really. Let's just head north. Oh, the toothbrush will sort for DNA, if nothing else.
Okay, it's been outside for a long time.
Okay, well, PCR might work, but we'll take that back to the show.
No one can say we haven't tried.
Not after a couple of hundred years. Not after about 10 years.
You can
outside.
Get DNA from a dinosaur.
You know what you can get
it's
DNA
a
from?
Remarkably stable molecule.
The inside of that hip flask.
Perfect. Ooh. I like it for you.
Unless they were the sort to pour out, and I don't think they were.
Okay.
We'll keep
worry
it,
about later,
keep it closed, shall we?
Look, we'll take the toothbrush and the hip flask for further analysis later on.
Well, we just sure.
I'm immersed, John. So are we heading to point north then?
Yeah,
Swampy?
The north of the triangle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, you spotted from a distance that there seem to be earth banks, and as you get closer, you can see there are ditches behind them. And as you get there's no sign of any structure beyond that. But as you get closer, it looks very much like areas of tended ground. It might be a garden or a small farm, something like that.
Hey.
With the earth banks, do they look defensible, or do they look like they're to stop flooding?
You'd want to make them taller.
Do they have a turret on them?
No.
Hard points?
Not anymore.
a garden without hard points?
I know.
Let's see.
Is it...
I mean, at the very least, you want someone to put the potato can on.
Is it geometric standard kind of square, 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 or is it more...
Basically, yeah.
Okay.
Put it this way, Jethro. If you were designing a fighting position, you would not make it look like this. You would make it easier to get up against the inside of the embankment and fire over it, rather than having a slope on that side of it.
Okay, cool. So, I mean, you know, I'm quite relaxed that it isn't... okay. That's
it's
fine.
A garden, Jethro. No one says everyone into the defence garden.
So,
not if you like that about it.
There's a feral mix of plants here, but you can recognise, particularly those of you who have botany.
Potatoes?
Biology. They don't specialise that far. This isn't good.
Certainly do have biology.
barley, onions, yes, potatoes. Strawberries.
Ooh. All I know about the Russians is it's vodka. Potato vodka.
That's what I think.
They've run very wild by now, but they're still recognisable. There are also some things that look as if they're probably native plants with fleshy leaves and tubers.
Well, as if we were in any doubt, it is absolutely definitely from Earth or an Earth colony.
And they had, I mean, the fact that they apparently had those seeds with them or something they could use to plant, to me, suggests they brought them along deliberately.
Yes, that makes sense. What are the chances of you having...
In fact, Dr. Radish, how many of these could you cultivate from foodstuff without having deliberately brought seed along?
Well, potatoes for a start, you need seed potatoes, don't you?
So. No. Potatoes, you can just use potatoes.
Oh, yeah, that's true, having remembered what I've seen. Well, yeah. I saw in my cupboard the other day. It's just better with seed potatoes.
You get more potatoes and fewer tentacular beasts trying to take over the world.
That will be biology and edu will be a 13.
Okay. What were you trying to find out now with this?
Well, basically, whether these... what Felix said. Would this have had to have been a planned... could you get onions, for instance, or anything of these? Could you have Well, harvested it from ship's rations.
The particular one that's going to give you an answer there, I suspect, is the barley.
Right.
Because you do not have viable barley in a ration, you have bread.
Yeah.
Which would strongly suggest that it was brought with the intent of cultivating.
Space John Barleycorn. John Barleycorn.
Which would imply then some form of
not Ivan Barleycorn.
I'm glad to have the explanation.
Yeah. So that would imply some form of colony thoughts, if nothing else.
An attempt, if not a successful one.
Or experimental growth, if there was some sort of, orbital, zero gravity experimentation going on, possibly.
Maybe.
I'm thinking the space station.
Possibly. These
are pretty good things to grow.
But similarly, with an orbiting lab in that era, you wouldn't have had that many people. So I think the sheer number of people suggests an attempt at a colony.
It does, It seems to very much at least rule out
wormhole.
An ordinary rocket that went astray or something.
Oh, we accidentally fired the moon across the solar system.
Yeah, that sort of thing.
Oh, come on, don't be ridiculous.
Sorry, I don't mean to disparage.
You have one place where you keep all of the nuclear waste, and then you ignite it, and then you wonder why the moon is suddenly flying off into flying out of the solar system.
So I'm just going to mark off the places you've explored so far.
Speaking of marking territory, I'm going for a wee.
See, doing a Nintendo, you see.
That actually looks really good.
That does look really
good. Yeah, much less surprised.
Yeah.
That looks very smart, yeah. That's good. You said, Roger, that when we were down on the ground, we could have a go at triangulating where the signal was coming from.
Yeah, and you've got several different positions now. Also, you can use the receivers on NetDecker.
Yeah.
I think you can bin that down. You can get a cross bearing from that debris spot. Your best bet of the intersection is either that bit in the middle of the mangrove swamp or somewhere pretty close to it, and that particular spot is obviously where you'd bet.
Yeah. So, can this hover car actually hover?
There's nothing more useless than a hover car that can't hover.
Well, that depends on exactly what you mean by that term. I mean, yes, it is a ground effect vehicle. Can it hover in place? Yes, very close to the ground. It does have a jump jet mode, but it can cover a distance of, maybe 20 metres rather than sustained flight.
More of a hop jet.
And this river that we're by here, do we think we could actually follow the river into the heart of the mangrove?
That's an entirely reasonable question. Let's just take a look and see if they've given me any equipment with which to answer that, because that would be nice, really, wouldn't it?
It just seems a sensible way to get a hover car into, almost like they were designed to go over land and water.
I mean, the impression I get reading through this a few times before running it, obviously, is that they didn't think about using vehicles at all. But
surely.
Yeah. But let's just see if
see, my other thought was that I go back go onto the auto factory and I build a plasma weapon. And then basically we cut our way in, but I'd prefer not to actually have to burn that much mangrove swamp, really.
You never know when things might suddenly start catching seriously.
Yeah.
And then the rest is all a very short game of Flashpoint.
Yeah.
So the short answer is, you would need to get over some swamp to get to the nearer bit of river, and that is a fairly narrow bit of river. And it's showing it as inconveniently all the same width, but essentially the right-hand side of this is the bit that flows to the sea.
Mm-hmm.
So it will get wider as you get further to the right.
I am thinking we ought to head towards that estuary, you know, because it seems to me that the most viable place to have any kind of settlement is something like that.
Your hovercraft pilot, driver, whichever, they prefer pilot, obviously, but we'll say that the tricky bit is going to be these things get less maneuverable the slower you go. It's not just that we like going fast. It does actually work better when you're going fast. So, yeah, if we're going up a river with potential obstructions and so on, we're going to be making a lot of noise and moving quite slowly, and that might be good. It might scare off any wildlife, or it might not be.
Well, how about we start by avoiding this area and heading around it and joining up with the river further down when it's widened
up?
Well,
okay, so basically what you're saying is if we go to the one pretty much to the east of us, check that one out, and then go back across upriver.
Basically the pinkish bit you would definitely call swamp rather than savannah, which is the greenish bit.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm thinking across the savannah towards that inlet. And then we've got sort of an estuary.
Yeah. And the darker green bits to the right you would call jungle.
Yeah. Mm. Don't forget that we think the emergency signal that we are picking up is from that bit in the centre of the mangrove swamp.
That's your best bet. Yeah.
Yeah, I just don't know that it's the ideal place to go first. And it strikes me that
you may
have had a longer lasting settlement, possibly, which could give us some clues so we'd maybe know what we might be heading for.
Your hover driver will say, well, the river gets wider further down, we can get the hang of how this thing handles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think we need... Whatever happened, it happened long ago. There's no danger now. So.
Yeah, and I was also going to say...
There is still...
I am going to kill him at some point. I mean, if he keeps saying these stupid things.
I'd also say, I mean, we now know this happened a very long time ago.
Mm.
It started a very long time ago. Mm-hmm. It's not urgent.
Unless this there is, are humans.
Even if
still
there
around.
Are human survivors, they have been here for a long time.
What happens
this is
if
not
it's
a crucial 1 second rescue
when
mission like we're typically thinking about.
So long as you're
unless it's Russians needing vodka.
And say that in the inquest, Felix.
We came when here with exactly 150-year supply of vodka and we've just run out!
When were cryopods invented?
Much later.
Hmm. So it's just unlikely that anybody would be here and still in cryo.
I think they were invented a long, long time ago, but successful ones that you could actually defrost people from was the tricky
the ones that don't turn out to be a very expensive way of getting protein.
Mm. Yeah.
Oh God, I've just imagined if this was a long lost Cornish colony left to its own devices for 200 years. Jeez.
They've got cryopods, but they're using them for soft serve ice cream.
The entire island has been turned into a pasty mine. So, do we have a next point to go to?
I agree with Mason. Let's head to this estuary one.
So which is the so actually the
do,
mouth?
Do you mean that one down?
So that one, yes.
That's that one there, and then work our way back along.
Yeah,
the
that
river.
Seems sensible to me. Go to the ones which are somewhat accessible. Down.
Okay, so basically you can get to that on the bit that is grassland, and then enter the river and try it fairly gently where it's quite wide.
Exactly.
It's maybe 100 metres wide at that point. Sorry, go on.
The river. We can apocalypse now our way back up the river.
It's
traditional. We could also try going around the coast and seeing what we can see of these places, whether it's possible to just pull up on the coast at any point further round.
Mm-hmm. Well, mm-hmm. Most of the coast, as far as you can see, has at least a thin beach strip outside the wall. And mm-hmm. getting over the wall, you know, it's a metre or two high. It's not impossible with the jump jets.
As we don't know what's in the sea, I would be quite anti going in around the coast.
Well, we've got radar. We can tell if there's something
very big. We can scan for heat signatures.
Yes, but strangely, a very large body of water stops heat signatures quite a short distance.
Well, we've got radar, haven't we?
I'll tell you what, that
there is a big difference between radar and sonar, Dr. Radish.
Oh, wait, you just put a microphone underwater, don't you? It's the same.
I was going to say, I mean, this is something that potentially Endeca could be doing while we are scouting around. They could send out some probes to hover over the water and take a look at what's out there.
Or possibly go in. I mean, can the probes enter a body of water if it's not a
flying is what is one task, and being underwater is another task, and it's quite hard to build a thing that does both.
Yeah,
with any competence. I mean,
there are water based probes.
Yes, James but Bond generally you drop them into the water.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, but you can sling one underneath like that one of your flying probes. That would be the way this sort of thing would probably work. And then it would report.
Right, and then if the flying probe suddenly gets pulled underneath the water, we know not to go out.
I was thinking more in terms of dropping it in, but anyway. In the curve of the river, just about on the point where the sand turns to the grass of the savannah, which, yeah, quite sharp, slicey grass if you do it without heavyweight expedition boots or indeed vac suits. Because I think they're just expecting people will gleefully say, it's warm, we'll strip off, we'll go out in our thongs. not that sort of thong, the Australian sort.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, we're basically all going to dress like Steve Irwin and head off into the
I don't know what you
alien
are,
savannah.
No, I have really been won't.
To the Formby sand dunes. I have experienced marum grass, and I never wish to do so again.
And this is spice marum grass, which is even slicier.
Yes, no, we're definitely not going through.
Made of glass blades, you say. Made of knives, you say.
But what you have here is clearly, or was clearly, a small hut or shack.
Aha.
It has partly collapsed. It's made, as far as you can tell, of local materials.
Okay,
say again?
Rough human occupancy, small?
Probably one.
Oh, gosh, okay, not a town then.
No, it is a single building and it's quite a small one.
It's made of local materials, are we talking sort of stone, something durable, this something pretty biodegradable?
Yeah, it's basically reasonably... some plant material that's maybe been treated in some way, but yes, basically chunks of stone, that kind of thing.
Newer than the metal one.
There is some sort of wood that appears to be a native wood that has not been decaying. Have you seen any of the things that produce this?
We haven't been in the forest.
That's because there isn't a forest. There is over a jungle.
Oh, it's jungle, yeah.
It can't just be a wood that doesn't decay. That would be bizarre.
Perhaps decay slowly, or perhaps if you then treat it.
Yeah. You haven't heard of the Greater Maglenic Throbbing Ironwood, have you, Mason?
Okay, you have not seen anything...
I've never suffered from it.
You have not seen anything that appears to produce this material.
Right.
Hmm.
Hmm.
And there's nothing around that looks like anything somebody's cached writing materials in, or any kind of more durable material they've scratched into, anything like that?
It doesn't look that way. That doesn't seem... Let's see. All right, let's have investigate or recon.
I'm just thinking, even people who think things maybe are desperate tend to want to leave a mark or an explanation, don't they? It's just a person. I've got a 10 there.
Okay. See, no, I've done a John and rolled a double 2.
Okay, but John's not done a John.
I'm not called doing a John. I mean, that's just...
you can also spot, it's been a bit overgrown, but by the blade grass, but it was definitely a fire pit.
Right.
It's there is the central. Sorry.
Any animal bones or anything?
Doesn't look like it. There is ash. There is some of the sand is still a bit blackened. There are large rocks that you get the immediate impression of. This is sort of at a comfortable distance for sitting around a fire.
Right.
There are also several empty liter-sized plastic bottles, no labels.
Okay.
Any
contents?
Empty. Perhaps local atmosphere.
Nothing at all.
And a corroded collection of copper tubes. And there is a skill roll for this, but I'm sure you could work that out without having to roll it.
Yes, it's bloody obvious. I mean, not being funny about it. They're Russians. Of course there's going to be a still.
I think when you're abandoned and expecting to die on a planet, it's not just the Russians who try to turn to alcohol, you know.
It's just they're much better at it than us. okay.
Look, you've got to remember that Mendeleev, who outside of Russia is known as the father of the periodic table and stuff, in Russia, far, far, far more importantly, worked out a way of accurately telling how much alcohol was in vodka. That's the big thing that he's known for in Russia.
All it required were six evenly graded Russians and a lot of vodka. Yep, he's gone down. That makes it about a level two on the scale, I think.
Oh, this is like the thingamajig chart, Scoville chart.
Yes, but...
that is a ridiculous thing.
I've never looked into the science of it. Is there science behind it?
I think it is. I think it wasn't initially, and then it's become more and more scientific as they've actually realised.
On a yak's teeth. And
yeah, well, I think
at the distance you fly when you were kicked.
So okay,
you've got this collapsed hut or shack or whatever you want to call it.
Anything in it?
There might be. I mean, you would have to dig through a bit.
We're probably going to have to. Let's just check around the structure first to see if there, you know, is a rubbish pit or anything, and also to make sure that it's not going to imminently collapse if we head inside.
Mm. It already has collapsed.
Right.
Okay, we may have to move out some of the...
You would probably... If you want to see what was inside, you'd probably start by lifting off one of the walls, which is not huge, you know, it's a doable thing.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
We'll have to do that, I think.
Okay, so a bit of
keep
that.
Keep an eye out for any writing. There might be stuff scratched on the walls.
Shifting the walls and then taking a look at what's left, you've got... This is all somewhat damaged, but... I mean, for one thing, it hasn't been waterproof for quite a long time. But you've got probably this was a bed, a chair, a table. There is a single plastic boot, a few crumbling shreds of blue cloth.
A single boot.
A pocket tool, Swiss Army knife or Russian ripoff thereof, which is corroded shut. Several drinking glasses, plastics, I should say. Several lengths of, this same stuff that was bundled together to make some of the walls. It's a very straight, very dark, you would have to call it wood from the structure of it. But it seems to have been cut into 6 foot lengths and, there are eyelets inserted into it and it's basically been turned into a fishing rod.
How's it been cut? Are there like tool marks, or was it
looks like a hand tool of some sort, though from the hardness of it now, presumably it was softer when it was cut.
Right.
Well,
that's odd for a colony, but they would have had prefab buildings or something.
You would have thought, yeah. The rods have reels on them. Those are wound with optical cable.
Okay, so they were clearly improvising at this point. What we don't know is this was this late stage...
And the fishing hooks look handmade.
They could have started with more stuff and then they've had nothing to replace it with.
Yeah,
or even possible.
Go.
I was going to say, we used to fish like real men with dynamite.
Yeah, I mean, they might have had a schism, you know. This might be someone who's driven out of the colony.
Is anything visible from here that looks out of place, man-made, perhaps, within easy sight?
Not really. I mean,
I'm also wondering about things like grave markers and...
Yeah, you haven't got anything like that.
Any kind of monuments, nothing at all.
I would like to, if we could, to go upriver. I am quite keen on going towards the source of the distress signal.
Okay. Yeah, you can set off easily enough. You needing to be a bit on the slow and careful side, but it's not too bad.
But at least this gives us a slow introduction to it rather than going in.
Yeah. Let's
see that first place then.
You've got a reasonably clear channel through the swamp. That's not immediately by the river, but you could get sight of it at least across the swamp. That does look like another fallen piece of metal on its own, similar to that first one you spotted.
Okay.
I think we're going to have to go and, you know, document everything basically, aren't we?
Yeah, we'll just have to work
possibly
away.
Retrieve things.
Perhaps it all went a bit Lord of the Flies here.
I mean, I'm tending towards that suggestion that, you know, the landing did not go as planned. The ship had a sudden unplanned deconstruction event.
Well, possibly there was more than one vehicle, and some people landed and
others crashed.
I mean, we don't know, you know, if it was actually a lander or if it was intended to be some sort of satellite or something. Perhaps.
Lander, crasher, it's all a matter of definition.
We got no way of knowing how long this beacon's been active for.
Correct. You can't walk away.
It's a very simple repeating signal.
Yeah.
So as you get further into the swamp, it does close in a bit. That's not too bad. The problem you have with the mangrove is that it bridges across the river. And there are quite a few bits with very low headroom. You can keep going
for
now.
Presumably
the hovercraft itself is fairly low to the ground. Sorry, go on.
Okay. So I was going to say, presumably we can't go too far in then because of the height problem. Since
yeah.
We can't,
at some point you suspect you are going to have to stop, and indeed that is the case.
Right.
So you get up pretty much to that four-way junction of rivers. You have been going upriver. The other three are flowing to that junction and then joining to come down to the east.
Is there anywhere we can actually park this thing?
Your driver is paid to stay with it.
Yeah. Does he need to sort of head back down and...
No, I can sit here. I can tie up and then break the cake if I need to run away in a hurry. Not that'll happen, of course. Okay. I'll be right here for you. No worries, guys.
Mm. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Thanks.
Yeah, he's dead, isn't he?
What's the pilot's name?
Is or we are.
Don't ask his name.
Lucky Jim. It's my
You're gonna
last
doom
mission.
The poor guy. Right, shall we get ready to mount a small expedition, or should we make it a very small expedition with just a couple of us and leave some backup?
I mean,
there is nothing to fear.
There doesn't seem to be any obvious predators.
It's a mangrove. Not being obvious is what things do in this environment. People you're walking along with suddenly disappear under the water.
Things that were very obvious until about 30 seconds ago. The noise of your jet engines.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah. Valid. I mean, I'm quite happy to meander over. Like I say, I just want to confirm.
Yeah, I mean, you can
confirm how deep this is.
Looking at the setup you've got here, you are going to have to machete through it.
All right.
Oh dear, if only we had somebody who had melee blade.
I was going to
say. it's more about survival, to be honest.
They laughed at Traveller having
blade combat in space.
Mm. So I have survival. Is that one skill in Traveller?
Yes.
Wow, okay. Then I have it. I have it at one.
For new streetwise, I'd be using that for everything.
I've done this before.
I've got it at zero.
Yeah. This is nice. For the Eternal, it's separate for every territory type.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that seems fair because
it does. I was just surprised it doesn't hear.
I think there would be so many. Anyway, okay. So you make your way across, and ooh, lucky you! That was a high roll. So you're basically plotting through this. You're probably stopping every so often to try to get another radio fix.
Yeah, very much so.
And
just to double check to make sure nothing's happening back at the hovercraft. And
so, who's in the lead? I have to ask this thing.
Well, probably Felix.
Either Felix.
It's the only penguin deck, isn't it?
Well, no, it'll either be cheeky bugger. It'll either be Felix or Jethro.
That's what it says on your name tag, Penguin Dick.
I suppose it depends whether this is currently active hacking through or navigating.
Fairly active. You basically stop every so often, you stop and take a sight and you say, okay, we should turn a little bit to the right or whatever.
Okay, well, I don't have melee blade, but I do have survival.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I have melee blade. And more importantly, a quite heavy duty
flamethrower.
Yes. I mean, I'd more call it a
it's
laser
not the gun, ideal but terrain for a flamethrower.
I would have to say, I don't think you can use the combat war gear. I think it would just sink.
But it'll still be able to breathe.
Don't take away my toy!
Take you out at some point.
Yeah, it would be quite heavy, I'll give you that.
And out of the mud, launch 6 snakes.
Why did it have to be snakes?
Excellent.
Well, it's not cartoonization, but it's the next best thing.
Are they earth snakes or snake analogues?
That's not the thing.
They are definitely snake analogues. They have a they definitely look snaky in overall plan.
The main thing is how puncturing to
them. They have. Oh, they definitely have a lot of teeth.
Long teeth.
Well, it's not going to trouble me, is it?
Quite long and gnashy sort of teeth. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Well, we're going to have to kill them though.
And a crest along the back. The trick is I can't actually extract. Ah, yes, I can. Without showing significant amounts of the other animals that they've put on the same page.
The nice fluffy ones.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, there is one I would definitely have as a pet just from its looks alone.
Mm.
Yeah, but then again, the last animal I felt that way about was a pangolin, so. I mean, they are gorgeous creatures. Sadly, they're very endangered, so I would not, but you know. Such is life.
And then there's the fact that they can scratch through concrete, which is a bit of an issue.
Well, that's just a reason to respect them.
Do you know there is one recorded instance of someone being killed by a pangolin? Just one.
Were they made of concrete?
No.
Did it roll into them?
It's because people who go out and hunt pangolins smack them on the head until they're dead and then put them over their shoulder. Except this one that he put over his shoulder wasn't dead, it was stunned, so it woke up and rolled into a ball around his neck.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Respect.
More like this, pause.
Okay, that is quite teethy.
Does it, barbed tongue
it does look a little bit like the
it's like a sea serpent,
the crabby thing that we saw.
Hang on, why are the spikes going the wrong way?
On the tongue.
Because
they
would push food out of the mouth, not put it down.
Maybe it's got a horrifying parasite.
Okay.
And the spikes are there to prevent it.
It's just swallowing another snake of some sort, perhaps.
Oh, okay.
Possibly the tongue is its parasite.
Honestly,
well,
Nick.
That is, yeah, sorry.
Don't you know that according to Games Workshop, more spikes means it's cooler?
Oh, yeah, yes.
But anyway, you cannot actually see all the way to the tail. The bit that has left the mud so far is about 2 metres long.
I will leave this to the more action-oriented members of the
party. So are we launching into this combat next time?
I think so, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
That does mean, Nick, that you don't need to worry about anything because I feel that at the very least... We are going
you don't
to
need to
playing.
Worry about anything,
we,
Nick.
We don't. We are going to be playing for one more session.
That's true.
Yeah, well, after Nick said he wasn't going to be available, I thought I might as well see how it goes.
Throw half a dozen Timmy's along snakes at us. Brilliant.
Absolutely. Okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Roger. Excellent.
Good luck with the snakes, everyone. Bye.
Same to you.
Cheers. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Stop.